This is You Gotta Try This, the show where friends Nick Curio and Julianne Earls try anything their guest wants them to try.
Anything.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, Julie.
So we have Bennett Kirshner on the podcast this week.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, one of my peeps.
Yeah, you brought this man on. Tell us about him.
So Bennett is a theater maker, playwright, director, creator. He is in a band called TV Poleshine. He is the director, founding artistic director of Intramural Theater, a New Orleans-based theater collective. He recently got married. I don't know if you know, he recently got married very publicly.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of in a spontaneous way, one could say.
Yeah, just did it. Yeah.
Just done did it. And he and I also went to high school together. And so that's how I know Mr. Bennett. And he's just a doll.
In Jersey?
In the Jers, baby.
Jersey.
In the Jers. So so excited to have him on. He's so, again, we only have goofy people on the show. He's a total goof, but also super, super smart and super, super interesting. And he is having us try the documentary, The Yes Men, made in 2003.
That's when I graduated high school.
No.
Yeah, that's the year I graduated high school. I'm showing my age again. I think each episode I'd show my age. It's funny because when he asked us to watch this movie in the email, I just read it real quick and I thought it was Yes Man.
Yeah.
And I thought it was the Jim Carrey movie. And I was like, you want us to watch? I've already seen it, unfortunately, but I guess I'll watch it again and we'll talk about it. And then I looked at the date because I noticed, I was like, he wrote a date on it. And you're right, it was 2003. And I was like, wait, I think that's, I should look this up. Yes. And I was like, this is a different thing. This is a documentary.
Yes. I did the exact same thing. I was like, this is an odd choice. I was like, why this movie? Just goes to show that these days we just read quick all the time, don't we? We're just like, oh, The Yes Man. Okay, great. Google it right away. And then we go, huh? And we are wrong.
Yeah.
But according to IMDb, the tagline for the movie is anti-corporate activists travel from conference to conference impersonating member of the World Trade, I don't know, this is actually written weird, impersonating a member of the World Trade Organization. They're missing a word there.
Yeah.
I think it's supposed to be
impersonating members of the World Trade Organization.
Yes, or that could be the...
It's, either way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Get it together, IMDb.
Get it together. We're going to mail in and say, please...
We're going to mail it. We're not going to email. We're not going to call. We're not going to text. We're going to send you snail mail. A strongly worded letter to IMDb.
Over this one movie's description. And it's also listed as a documentary and a comedy, which when I also saw that the first time I actually looked it up correctly, I'm like, ah, yes. And this is why this is Bennett's thing. So a little context on Bennett. When we were in high school, he loved Flight of the Conchords.
Great show.
Yeah, and actually, my boyfriend Johnny's been rewatching some of those episodes and things. And I never really actually seen it myself. I just kind of knew, like part-time model, like Bennett did that at an assembly or something once, I think, when we were in high school. And some of those kind of maybe more familiar songs, but I'd never seen an episode. And only after seeing one episode, I was like, oh my God, these people are so brilliant because I love comedy that is super silly, but really smart. Like those songs are not just a stupid jingle they wrote. Like they're really intricate and complicated, and the caliber is still high, even though it's silly. And so seeing that this movie is, I'm sure, going to be very, I don't know, documentaries usually are, I don't know, for me, upsetting. Are they like very real?
Yes.
But that there's a comedy bent feels very, very on brand for him.
I'm excited because I kind of, it sounds very interesting to me. And I agree. I think the fact that it's labels a comedy too, I think I'm excited because it seems to me, if I had to guess, again, we haven't done much research besides looking it up on IMDb and just because we want to go in with little as much as possible. I'm hoping that it sounds like it's going to be these people fucking around with bad people, which, you know, messing with them in a way that's going to be very funny, which I'm excited for.
Yeah. Have you seen the new Borat?
Yes, I have. Yes.
If it's anything like that, my reaction to that movie was awe. First of all, just awe that they could pull this stuff off. But then, as I said, like also very upsetting.
Yeah.
So I think I feel like I predict for myself that I'm going to be laughing, but also with the emoji that is the cross eyes and then the open mouth.
Yeah, good. I like that you can express your emotions with emojis. You tell us what they
are. Yes. Don't use words anymore. We use emojis. Oop. I guess I got Venmo'd. Nice. Making that money.
Make that free money. Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited.
In this tagline, it says anti-corporate activists. What do you think that's going to entail?
I think it's people that are like anti-corporate, that are very like these giant corporations that they're against, which, you know, makes sense. Like there's these huge, huge corporations that run so much of our country, and it's unfortunate. And I hope that they shine a light on the problematic issues that they raise all the time. So I'm looking forward to that.
2003, do you think it's still going to hold true? A lot of the same stuff? Have we changed?
No, unfortunately. I mean, we're still having problems that we've had centuries ago that are still like, really? We haven't fixed this yet? We still have this issue? We're not over this? So I still think it'll still be relevant. And I think, I'm guessing that's why he's like, check this out, because this was in 2003, and look how much we're still like under this like umbrella of problems.
Interesting.
Time to get educated.
We're gonna get edumacated and laugh and have a laugh or two.
Have a good time, because that's what we're about here. I like at the beginning, you were like, we only have goofy people on. So if anybody serious tries to come on, we're going to be like, no, thank you.
Like, can you goof it up a little more? I know that we're talking about climate change, but can we?
Can you try to goof right now, please?
So, yeah, I mean, it's a good little streak to start off with.
Yeah, I like the goof streak. Let's do it.
Cool. Well, see you on the other side.
Yeah, I'll see you on the other side. It's happening.
It's happening. Thank goodness. I have a small heart attack every time we do one of these because we're still figuring it out. All right. But here we have Bennett Kirshner on You Gotta Try This.
Hello, hello, hello.
Welcome, Bennett.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
We're so excited to have you. And this try, which was the Yes Men, I am so excited to talk about this. I mean, I knew it was going to be interesting, but I was pleasantly surprised by how much it affected me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jim Carrey did a really good job. He was really funny.
Let's start off with why you picked this, Bennett, and what this documentary means to you.
Honestly, these guys are kind of my heroes, and they have been for a very long time. You know, I think the way they merge kind of effective, powerful political messages with humor is something that I aspire to, you know, trying to like have fun while doing meaningful, creative work. I love the way they like gravitate towards subterfuge. I love their methods. I love the way they set up like completely oblivious subjects who think that they are audience members. But, you know, in addition to having this like long-standing admiration for them, I do feel like their work right now is very pertinent on a number of levels, you know, as we're like in the middle of this crazy election cycle. We've obviously been talking a lot for the past 4 years about foreign agents or anyone else kind of adopting identities that are not rightfully theirs and using it towards, you know, nefarious ends. And the Yes Men, in many ways, have used that for good. And they did it before anyone else was doing it. You know, they started out as web designers, and this documentary kind of traces their development of this vision of like using the internet as this forum for satire and political commentary in a way that I think has only blossomed since this documentary came out in 2003. So yeah, also like obviously the themes they're focusing on, I think they were just ahead of their time in so many respects. You know, they were talking about corporate abuses before that became like kind of part of the mainstream political consciousness, trying to draw attention to it through humor and doing it in ways that don't force you to feel awful about yourself. They ask you to laugh in a way that feels really just liberating and you know, warm and lovely. You know, they're asking the right questions without being a burden, which is, again, something like I really aspire to as an artist.
And I think it's very effective, which is, I think, what really got me. We were talking about Borat a little bit in our intro, and I was saying, like, maybe perhaps it's going to be similar to that, and that he's kind of crashing these events, impersonating these people and things. But what I loved about watching this was, you know, it's almost 20 years ago, and how many things are different. Like, I'm, like, watching them on these computers. I'm like, look at these graphics. Look at this clip bar and stuff, like the first website. And yet the things they're talking about and the issues are still extremely relevant. Like, just as you were saying, people are saying the stronger are getting stronger and the weaker are getting weaker. And this was 20 years ago. And it's like, it's gotten only worse. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. You know, I saw that juxtaposition. But especially in these days where there's lots of movements and protests and things, they're all very valuable in their own way. But it made me think, like, this is such a sneaky, different way to go about it. Like, in a way, they're creeping under the door, basically, mm-hmm. and getting in people's faces in a way that they don't expect. And that has its effect in another way, basically, which, I don't know, it kind of just widened my scope in terms of protesting. And then, you know, it led me to more things, but I'll leave it at that for now. There's so many other things I want to talk about, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
I had this kind of sad realization because there's so many moments where, like, because like we said, it is from 2003. They were ahead of their time. And there are a lot of, like, things they go after that are very relevant today. But, you know, when they talk about the stuff they've done and they go to, like, the conference and they do that whole, you know, with the suit ripping off, you know, that golden suit, and how they're kind of like, you know, we expect these people to, like, boo us and be like, you can't do that. That's crazy. And I was like, I had this sad realization because I went there. I was like, oh, I 100% believe these rich people in these, like, seminars they went to and these things are just like, yeah, totally. We could do this. You know, this guy's basically, like, fluffing up and giving a, like, an argument for why slavery should have been kept around. And they're all just kind of like, interesting. Mm-hmm. Especially after these 4 years, I went, yeah, I absolutely can believe there are terrible people like that who would just go, yeah, okay, tell us more. And then I was like, wow, I can't believe that I've become so jaded from everything, because that's like, yeah, I believe that there are monsters like that. Mm-hmm. And you just see, like, how people should react to this when the kids are just like, you know, well, I say kids, but what they're like in college, but how they're just like, this is terrible. This is wrong. And they were like so happy because they're like, this is what we want. We want people to speak up.
Yeah. And there's almost still a lighthearted demeanor behind it. Like, after they do it, they're like, it was fun once they started to catch on that it was all a joke, like that it was fake and things. Like, it's not in an ill meaning way. And it's mm-hmm. it kind of furthers the point, you know. But Nick, I really want to talk about this with you. This is also the most extreme high caliber level of improv, is it not?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they had a bit of a script when they were like what they were going to say. But I mean, you have to put yourself out. I mean, I was watching it. And I was like, these guys are just so, and they stick to their guns and they're very like, you know, I was like, when they get there and they're late and they're having to get ready and they're like, we got to do this thing. In my head, I was like, I know what it's like, you know, we're all performers, but I've also done like, we're going to do this thing. We're going to trick these people. And I've done stuff like that. And I've done like, and I do a lot of improv, but like, you're really putting yourself out there and yeah, you're going to be on your feet. You're going to have to just go with the flow. You have to be ready for anything.
Yeah. You got to be ready to, when it's time to open up the floor for people's questions, when you're talking about these very like professionally worded, thoughtful proposals people are going to ask you, how is this going to work? How is this going to work? You have to be like totally ready to answer these questions that are going to come out of left field. Julie, something I think is really interesting. I love Sacha Baron Cohen, but they both crack me up to no end. And I think they're like doing something to like shine a light on certain elements of like, you know, capitalism in Sacha Baron Cohen's case. But I think what really distinguishes them from one another is that Sacha Baron Cohen usually, well, actually, as I'm saying this, I realize it's not entirely true, but like a lot of Sacha Baron Cohen's work is staged with like unaware, like working class people. I don't know if you saw the most recent Borat, but he's like kind of trying to like, you know, reflect the ways in which mainstream political discourse kind of manifests itself amongst like regular everyday people. Like that's a huge part of his work, especially with Borat. It made me feel all the feelings.
All the cringe was at an all-time high.
Yeah. Whereas the Yes Men, right? And Sacha Baron Cohen also works with like, you know, he's done interviews with Dick Cheney. He's done interviews with obviously like Rudy Giuliani, all of these like, you know, very like professional, purportedly reputable, important people. But the Yes Men are exclusively working with that class of people. You know, they're setting themselves up at these business conferences in giant hotels where people show up in suits to hear about the ways in which like giant corporate conglomerates are going to be like changing the world or serving their bottom line, you know? That contrast to me is interesting, right? Because they're like both studying different like corners, different pockets of our culture.
Sure. And also that Borat and different works of Sacha Baron Cohen, there's a storyline involved along the way with it. Whereas, you know, after watching this documentary, I got really curious and I had never heard of them before. And I looked into them and, you know, they have other movies and things and they have a whole big organization. It's very organized. They want to spread their knowledge and their teaching so that other people can, in their grassroots way, do this within their own communities and things. I mean, now I guess they're more known. And like, it was kind of cool to see the origins of this thing through this documentary that's been growing since then. I watched it through Amazon Prime and one of the user comments was like, you could see these guys' balls from space. Like they have really big balls to be doing this. Uh-huh. Yeah. And also speaking to the corporate and being high level. So actually, my boyfriend and I just started watching Succession, HBO's Succession, mm-hmm. which is all about this, you know, corporate family, basically. And mm-hmm. like feeling those two energies within me within the past 24 hours and how they conflict. We have one family literally fighting over who's going to run the company and handling the bottom line versus these two guys trying to break down the greed and having people aware of how this affects the greater world. Mm-hmm. But now my question is, do you think there is a place for business? I guess sometimes I understand the extreme, mm-hmm. but also that people still need to run businesses. Sometimes I think where the greed happens is because the numbers take over the humanity.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's reasonable. Yeah, I'm not opposed to like, you know, I'm not intrinsically opposed to like capitalist enterprise. And I think what the Yes Men are trying to do is, yeah, they're trying to shed light on like corporate abuses. The way they put it, and I'm sure I'm not gonna get this completely right, but they are speaking truth on behalf of these corporations, right? They are presenting themselves as the emperor with no clothes.
Yes.
They're trying to be as truthful as possible, whereas other corporations might present kind of their behavior, right, in this very flattering light, they are trying to do it satirically, so in a way that's going to have some degree of levity, but also truthfully, you know, and fearlessly. So one thing they did in their second movie that I think like kind of encapsulates what they're doing, they spoke at this conference on behalf of Dow Chemical, which, you know, is responsible for any number of travesties. And what they did, they said, as Dow Chemical, we are coming out with a new risk calculating program in which you can determine whether the amount of potential deaths that a program will cause is worth the projected profits. And then they pull out a golden skeleton and they say, because the only skeleton you want in your closet is a golden skeleton.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
That's incredible.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing as what you saw in this first movie. They were just met with like universal applause, praise.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't crickets. It wasn't like people were kind of appalled at this, right? It was just, they were just speaking in more nakedly truthful terms, you know, that like really resonated with these people because they're just like repressing the fact that, yeah, like you're saying, Julie, like numbers ultimately supersede human life in a lot of cases. And that's not always the case, right? Of course, there are like plenty of businesses that are run ethically, humanely, thoughtfully, right? That, you know, have done a great job at kind of making sure that their kind of, whatever you want to call it, philanthropic or ethical priorities are kind of built into their profit building model. But that is not true of the vast majority of like successful corporations. Well, I don't want to speak in blanket terms, but yeah, it's not true, obviously, of a lot of corporations. And it's true of all of the corporations and entities that the yes men are speaking on behalf of. That's for sure.
I got you. Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting to see, like, I think what you were saying, how they're just being like what they believe, what these corporations would say and what they would do. And I remember they pointed that out where, like, you know, people think that we're the World Trade Organization when they go to our site and we answer them back like, as truthfully as we can. You know, they're not going out there to mess around. They're being like, no, we want them to believe it. And then, yeah, I think that's why when they're at these conferences, everybody's like, oh, well, we're all the same. We're all among our people. So we can be honest and be like, yeah, we do agree with this insane, terrible idea that, you know, human life isn't as important as it should be. And like you just saying, they are the emperor with no clothes on. And it's insane that, they're just showing that these corporations, you know, in front of everyone else, they're like, no, of course we're not doing that. Of course we're a good people. Mm-hmm. And then when they're amongst each other, they're like, no, we're terrible and we don't care. And they're showing that. And I think that's incredible. And they're doing it in a way, like I said, that's so funny and they're having a good time. And I love that they're not in your face about anything. They're never, they're never too like, this is why we're doing this. They're just like, this is what we do. We have fun doing it. And it's for a very good reason. Hope you enjoy. And I love that approach to it.
Mm-hmm. And I think something that's really telling about their work, you would expect, right, that like the greatest risk they run are lawsuits, right? Like some like financial liability. And they have been litigated before, right? But in the few cases they have been litigated, the same outcome always kind of prevails, which is that these lawsuits only draw more attention to what the yes men were trying to point out in the first place, right? And the corporations end up recoiling, realizing this is bad publicity, right? And they back out.
So you're agreeing to having applauded for a golden skeleton, is that correct?
Yeah.
That's so smart. Yeah, they're incredible.
So did you see this right when it came out, Bennett? Like, so it came out in 2003. I was, you know, trying to put it in the timeline. Like, I was 13 then when this movie came out, when this documentary came out. Like, did you know about them way early on?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure my parents watched it because this aired on HBO back in the day. Julie, when we were talking on the phone the other day and I was like, Oh, wait, I'm not going to tell you that just yet because I wanted to tell it to you on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. You have a story. Yeah.
So I think it was junior year. I was like running a chapter, a subsection of the school-wide chapter of the ACLU. I forget what like segment of it I was running. But I knew this Yes Men's second movie was coming out. I like did some sleuthing on the internet, looked them up, found an email address I could randomly reach out to. This is like, you know, maybe 6 months before their second documentary was coming out. I emailed them saying like, hey, you know, I'm some random high school kid in Bergen County, New Jersey. Would you like to show your second movie over here? And Andy, that's his pseudonym, his real name is Jacques, he responded and said, sure, yeah, happy to come out.
And wait, hold, Hold the phone. Is this the one that kind of looks like you? Because that was also why I was laughing watching it, being like, Bennett kind of looks like one of these guys.
Yeah.
You look like Mike.
Jacques, like, he didn't expect any kind of compensation. He took the bus from New York, you know, over to Jersey.
Oh, damn.
And then we like screened the movie for like 20 kids.
Oh my God.
He was so sweet. I answered all these questions. He was so happy to do it. Yeah, you know, and I was like starstruck. Because these guys, you know, again, they've been my heroes since I was just a little kid.
That explains so much, actually. It's like, I feel like I understand you so much. I mean, when you're watching this before even high school starts, like it's so early on to take that in and make it a part of you. Did you guys talk and did he say anything that you really held on to? Was there anything like really particularly memorable about him coming?
You know, I don't really remember him imparting any specific wisdom. But I certainly remember like the gracious generosity of that act, you know, and just how happy he was to be there. And like, we're still very occasionally in touch, which is, you know, I feel so, so lucky to have, you know.
Have you done anything like they do, or like done any kind of satirical thing like this, or worked with them or anything like that?
Nothing of this magnitude, you know?
Yeah, that wasn't like, have you gone to a conference in Finland? And no.
No, I mean, I had like dreams of, you know, there was a big controversy down here because the public utility, or not the public utility, but, you know, the private corporation that basically acts as the public electricity utility, Entergy, there was a big controversy because they had this proposed fracked gas power plant that was going to go up in New Orleans East and will be going up in New Orleans East. And New Orleans East is predominantly Vietnamese, Southeast Asian, you know, and Black, you know, generally like lower income. This was like, it's no coincidence that they were putting this in New Orleans East, you know, and there's no demonstrated need for energy. They came up with all of these excuses. And there was a big, you know, at City Hall, there was a big kind of public question. I don't know what the term is, a big public gathering to discuss the legitimacy of the proposal. And Entergy, there was a big expose that came out a couple of weeks later. They paid hundreds of paid actors to pack City Hall with people who were supporting. So they paid each of these people like $100. And that meant that actual residents of New Orleans East could not get into City Hall and could not like actually voice their concerns with what was going on.
Wow.
So after that had happened, you know, they were pulling what the yes men pulled in a way, you know, it was just the exact opposite of that. It was instead of like the people co-opting corporations' image, it was the corporation co-opting people's image, you know? So I thought about trying to exact some kind of retribution by like getting all clean shaven, buying myself like a suit and writing a speech on behalf of Entergy, trying to do what the yes men do, but, you know, in City Hall talking about the power plant, but you know, that was a pure dream. And I reached out to them, but they were like very, very, very busy with other projects. So that never really came to fruition, but
it was worth musing
over.
And it all starts with that. And again, like I just poked around their site a little bit and they basically have how to's on things to do. They're like, they've compiled lists and techniques and small ways to do what they mm-hmm. do. Like I'm sure the next time something like that happens, you've already started growing the mm-hmm. seeds in terms of how to put your voice in.
There was a whole, I forget what it was, but like 3 years ago, there was this Chevron ad campaign that was like, you know, saying, I forget what it was saying. It was like made them seem like they were martyrs who were, you know, just saving the planet and all of its inhabitants. And they came up with this really clever satire of the ad campaign, and they completely, this whole $80 million ad campaign just was dead on arrival because of what the Yes Men did in collaboration with some other people. It was so cool. So they're still working, but you know, and this is something that Sacha Baron Cohen has to deal with too, you know, is like, once you get really good at this kind of like public satire in which you're like impersonating other people or entities, right? Eventually, if you're successful enough, people are going to recognize you, right? So it's hard for them as it is for Sacha Baron Cohen to kind of like go out and do what they so successfully did for so long because they've established a reputation for themselves. You know, people know who they are. And also, I think in certain ways, like the internet has kind of caught up and has kind of more safeguards for verification than it used to, which means that it is harder to try to impersonate, you know, large kind of entities, corporations, establishments. It's obviously easy to impersonate individuals, but it's harder for them to do what they did do for so long.
And yet, what I will say, my favorite moment in the film and the one that made me laugh, I didn't really like laugh out loud at a lot of it because I just was kind of like taking it in. But the one I did laugh at a lot is when they went to go see Barry Coates and he had to literally put his face to the screen for him to realize that he was the same guy. Like, it took him so long for them to recognize.
I love that he was like, he's like, I didn't want to say anything that you look similar to the guy, but it's like, and he took it so well. I mean, that's what's crazy is that you saying that is that, because, you know, Sacha Baron Cohen is so huge. Everybody, like, and he addresses that in the new film of, like, he walked around and everybody was like, oh, it's Borat. Oh. And he, you know, how they get around it. And I like, I'm sure now these guys have a reputation, but, like, they're still like, because I had never heard of him before. I don't think Julie had either. So they've managed to still kind of stay under the radar in a way. But I think that's in a way that's useful for them. If you want to continue doing this, I think you're right. You don't want to be too big that where you can't do this anymore. I couldn't believe they were just like on TV pretending to be the World Trade Organization. And they were just like, yep. Or they would go to these centers and people would be like, yep, we believe you. That's you. And like you said, it's easier. You can actually do it. It's very easily done. And these people just don't think about it. And I was like, that's nuts.
Yeah. It gets even crazier in the second movie. I'm not going to spill like their biggest coup d'etat, but it gets... There's one thing they pull that is just insane.
What's the second one called?
There's the Yes Men Fix the World and the Yes Men Are Revolting. I think the second one is the Yes Men Fix the World.
Yeah, that sounds right. I saw the trailer for the Yes Men. I almost said the X-Men. I mean, they are the X-Men in a different way. They're superheroes in a different way. The Yes Men Are Revolting. I watched the trailer for it. And, you know, now it's like almost the production in terms of even making the documentary is that much better. And it was, I really want to watch it. Like, it's, and so I'll just say that I know that the third one is that one and not the second one.
The second one is really, it's this first and the second are my absolute favorites. They're both so good. The second one just has this one particular project where they reach their one thing that they do has such far-reaching impacts. It's astonishing. Like millions of people, it becomes like headline news for a day and then it just disappears. I could tell you about it if you want to hear about it.
Yeah, go for it.
Oh, like to spoil it?
Yeah, do you want me to spoil it, Julie?
Spoil away.
Yeah? So they went on the BBC World. Have y'all ever heard of the Bhopal disaster?
No.
So I hadn't either until I saw this movie. The Bhopal disaster happened, I believe, in... mid-80s, it was a massive, there was a chemical production plant in Bhopal, India, run by this chemical company called Union Carbide. And it was just an atrocious environmental disaster of greater magnitude than Chernobyl. We just don't hear about it as much because it wasn't a nuclear meltdown. But yeah, people's skin was like peeling off in the streets. It was like extremely grotesque, very high, astronomically high cancer rates to this day there. Their drinking water is not safe, you know, all manner of like terrible environmental and health impacts. Anyway, Yes Men were asked to represent Dow Chemical on the, what I believe was the 30th anniversary of Bhopal, but it might've been the 20th. I can't remember. And Dow Chemical had recently acquired Union Carbide. And Union Carbide had, you know, they had paid like a pittance to the victims of this disaster, hadn't really made any significant material effort to rectify the wrongs that they had perpetrated. And Dow Chemical was asked to speak on behalf of their newly acquired Union Carbide about the Bhopal disaster. And Andy went on under the, no, I forget what the name was. I was going to say Gwyneth Hulitberry, but that was for another, that was for another project. I forget what he went on as.
I mean, even these names alone, right? Like, do you think anyone looks at the ID and goes, really? That's your name?
No, that's the thing is they don't.
But that's the thing is you can't. Yeah, you don't want to do that. You never want to be like, that's your name? And then be like, yeah, that's my name. That's why it's so smart. Yes, that's why that's so smart.
Yeah, you're so right. You're so right.
So they went on BBC World and they announced on behalf of Dow Chemical that they would be liquidating the multi-billion dollar arm of the company that was Union Carbide and using all of those funds to adequately compensate the victims and remediate the environmental impacts of the Bhopal disaster. And this became immediately headline news across every major news outlet. Dow Chemical to liquidate Union Carbide. You know, there was this major, you know, unprecedented corporate move to like actually sacrifice something to rectify the wrongs of the past. People were applauding them in India, you know, across all sorts of humanitarian organizations. And Dow Chemical, naturally, having no intention or plans of doing this, had to, over the course of the next couple hours, roll out a statement saying like, we do not assume responsibility for this disaster. We will not be compensating the victims of this disaster.
Oh,
you know,
shit.
And in the interim between the Yes Men's announcement and Dow Chemical's response, Dow Chemical's stock, and obviously this was a temporary thing, but this is kind of the most powerful part of it all. Their stock plummeted, you know, by like 5 percentage points, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that does a lot to like point to kind of our value systems and what we choose to incentivize in kind of, you know, quote unquote, free market capitalism, right? It's kind of the bottom line and it has very little to nothing to do with people's welfare and well-being. Yeah. So that, I mean, that was, again, their biggest coup d'etat. They have a number of other projects they've pulled. The Chevron one was pretty big too. But that one's in the second documentary and that one's just astonishing.
Yeah. I mean, that is incredible. It's similar to what happens in this doc, like, you know, the WTO once. And I think it just goes to show once the truth is out. The truth is out and you can't, you know, can't backpedal. What's been said has been said. So like, you know, when they were saying that they're stopping the company or whatever because of all these terrible things that they do, even though it wasn't true, it was almost like listing the faults were still true.
Yeah.
and then people had to reevaluate and be like, oh my God, why are we involved in this, in this thing?
Yeah.
Super, super smart.
You might not remember this. Dow had this whole ad campaign that they had across, like, you know, all the major TV channels where they talked about the human element. Do you remember that? Those ads?
I don't know.
They would kind of show the table of, what do you call it? Table of chemical? No, table of...
The periodic table of elements?
Thank you, Julie. The periodic table of elements. Yes, exactly. They would show the periodic table of elements and then they would like say like, there's one thing we don't account for and that is dun-dun-dun. the human element. Then they show like an image of some like baby or something, and, you know, show like HU in one of like the periodic table figures, you know, and say like, we at Dow, you know, care about the human element. It was very, very slimy, very slimy.
Nick, were you going to say something?
I just think it's funny when they were just like, it's so much more fun to be satirical. It's kind of harder when you have to be sincere. That's so true. And they're like, they're having fun going after these corporations. And when you have to really go like, but this is what they're actually doing, you're like, yeah, that's right. These are monsters and these are terrible people. But I mean, so great on them for doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I wanted to talk about that too. Actually, that moment really stood out to me. Like, you know, what's more fun? Is it more fun to be satirical or more fun to be sincere? And they're like discussing it. And, yeah, of course it's like, you want the humor of it. You want to live in that rather than to actually sit in the reality of what is going on. I don't know. And like that moment really almost stood out to me as a performer. I was so astonished by one, what the effects of their work is, but two, like that they're master improv actors and just performers, that they have to do the research, they have to prepare, they have the costuming, they have their script, they have their thing that they've written. But ultimately they're ready to act on the spot and in a way that is both, it's high level thinking, but highbrow comedy at the same time. And to me, like, I don't know if I could ever pull that off, but something more sincere, like I'm ready to do that. Like, you know, and, whether or not, I don't know, fun is a different quality to it, but as in terms of my work, like, I don't know, like that really stood out to me and trying to see how I sit with that.
I'm just trying to process that. So you're saying that like being sincere and authentically yourself in an improvisatory like context is more easily accessed for you than like doing something that is like completely fabricated and made up?
I guess fabrication versus if it's something coming from me, Julie Ann Earls, you know, those are also two different things as well. It's almost like when people ask me, like, what do you prefer? Do you prefer comedy or drama as an actor? And I'm like, well, I really like doing both. Mm-hmm. But like drama or like things that are sincere, earnest, or like a bit emotional, vulnerable, like that feels just as easily tapped into for me than comedy. Although if it's comedy, like more likely I'd rather it be scripted than unscripted. Nick, I'm curious to hear how you weigh in on that.
I mean, I love improv. I love going off script all the time. Even if there is a script to it, I like to like kind of add stuff. I can see what they were saying, like when you have to just like be, you know, it's not as much fun to just be sincere, but it is like important and it can be, and it's necessary and it can be like fun in a way. But yeah, I see what they were saying. Like, I completely get it. Cause it's just like, when you're like, we're going to go after this and do this funny thing, and then we're creating this. But then when you're just like, here are the cold hard facts and this is like what's happening, I see what they were going with.
Yeah, they toe that line, you know, they're somewhere between like being grounded in reality, right? Because they're like, again, like trying to be faithful to these entities that they're representing, but they're also taking it to such a like ridiculous lengths, you know, they're making an honest caricature of these organizations, you know?
Well, great. Well, thank you so much for showing us this doc. Is there anything else you would like to plug or talk about while we have you on?
Yeah, I think this has been a really, really interesting conversation. I run a theater company in New Orleans. Obviously, we are kind of on a hiatus as long as the world is shut down. But the name of the theater company is Intramural Theater. I also have a band in New Orleans called TV Pole Shine.
What is behind that name? And P.S., we will showcase a track of their band on this podcast after this as well. Listen for that.
Julie, it was fridge magnets. That's the long and short of it. We, like any anxious indie music maker, we were struggling to come up with a band name, and we had a bunch of fridge magnets, and we just kind of looked at what was on the fridge, saw TV Pole Shine, and said, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good name. I have no idea what it means, but I'm like, I'm into it. I'm going to go see TV Pole Shine.
That's why it's intriguing. It stays in your mind.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, hey, hey. So since we recorded that episode, a year has passed, but that's okay. And anyway, Bennett actually has a new play going up in New Orleans. And so we gotta promote it right here, right now. Let me tell you a little bit about it. So his theater company, Intramural Theater, is producing his play called Apostles of Everest, a new original work this November in New Orleans. The play, which touches on themes of voyeurism, exhibitionism, and surveillance capitalism, tells the story of Tom and Nancy, two middle-aged peepers who are auspiciously visited by a younger couple from out of town. Lily is an entomologist, and her boyfriend Hunter is, this is in quotation marks, making a documentary about her studies. Set in a reclusive houseboat community in the year 2036, the world starts to unravel as we realize that Tom and Nancy may not be the only voyeurs on stage, and the welcome travelers aren't exactly what they claim to be. So Bennett is the playwright, and he is also going to be playing the part of Hunter. I have actually personally read this play of Bennett's, and it is such a good play, y'all. It's really, really good. I would kill to be in this play. Unfortunately, I'm not based in New Orleans, and I would also love to see Bennett perform as well. I haven't seen Bennett act since we were in high school together. Please check out this play. I think this play is super, super smart. It's so modern. It's funny as hell. I can't talk it up enough. Oh, I'm so excited for Bennett. I hope you check it out.
I will add one more thing here that I have noted. Again, like I poked on their website just really quick. And it was so interesting to see how they are now in the present, having just seen this thing that was 20 years ago, almost 20 years ago, especially in light of the election and what's going on. And I think it was really admirable that basically even on this public platform through their website, they're like, you know what, we're taking a step back and we're just like fully focusing on this election and giving the support where we need to. And the thing that really stood with me is they talked about Biden. And they said, as with previous centrist presidents, only the pressure of mass movements will push Biden to do what's needed. Again, history is instructive. And they talked about Roosevelt and they talked about Lyndon B. Johnson. And basically saying that, like, they made major steps in terms of culture and policy, but it came from the pressure of the people. Ultimately. Mm-hmm. And I think so much of this time we can feel really helpless, but that ultimately our power comes in all of us working together. And this was the perspective I didn't know I needed at this time, watching their work and watching this documentary, specifically in terms of the present and the present situation we're dealing with.
Yeah, Jacques wrote that op-ed. I loved that op-ed. It was so thoughtful and so, calming in a way, you know. It was a way of like reclaiming a sense of agency beyond the electoral process, you know, because I think it's very easy to feel so helpless because we do attribute so much significance to the election itself, right? We kind of see that as the center point of our power as a people, right? When really, as he was saying, like the past has demonstrated that like we have so much power beyond just the electoral process. You know, it is possible to put enough pressure on, you know, moderates like FDR, like Lyndon B. Johnson, and now like Joseph Biden to really get them to instill some major, much needed, urgent systemic change.
Yeah, that's real. That's real. Thank you.
That's real.
Thank you. Yes, men. Thank you for saying yes and not saying no. You're welcome. So, the yes men, what's your rating? 1 out of 10, your experience.
I'm gonna say a 6 because I think what they did, I think watching it was like, so the things they did are very cool And then hearing like some of the stuff they did in the second one, and like the stuff they are doing is like, that's like a 10. But for some reason, and maybe it's also because right now, I don't know when this is going to air, but we're all very distracted by what's happening in the news right now because we're in the midst of the election. But I had a hard time. I kind of would zone out a lot, and it would just be like, I don't know why it had a hard time to pull me in. But I mean, when they would do the stunts, I was like, oh, okay, I'm watching. But every other time I just kind of, so it took me a long time because I'd be like, I have to go back and I missed something obviously. And then, or I would like pause it to look at something else. So, and maybe it gets better with the more movies they do. Like I felt like the documentary wasn't the best, like shot the best way. Like I feel like they could have a little bit more, I don't know, make it more something to it. But that's just me.
Yeah. See, what's interesting, especially having done two together so far, is that for me, I like genuinely, first of all, granted, like I started watching it last night. I also fall asleep really easily. So I was like, I was trying to like knock it out before talking about it the next day. But like I was falling asleep like 20 minutes in. I'm like, nah, we can't do this. So yeah. I paused it and then I watched it early this morning. But the thing that was the defining factor for me is like, again, like when it was done and I saw that they'd made other movies and I watched this trailer compared to Star Trek or Gone Home, like I genuinely was like, I want to watch this other movie of theirs. Like, and so to me, my interest to come back to it and see what else they've done, I'm like, well, I think I got to give this like an 8. I find what they're doing, of course, the like work 10, like I feel like we can both agree on that.
Yeah. 100.
Yeah. But part of me wants to watch, I guess it's like this, these kinds of people who protest in whether it's on the streets or in this way, to be blunt or like honest about myself, like that is something that I feel I am so not like in the way that you could be so brave to put yourself out there and to be disagreeable and, you know, do things that are inconvenient kind of in your life and to other people's lives in order for a bigger cause. Like that's stuff that I almost like need more of to just see, and like hopefully it'll infiltrate me that I can feel more bold and more brave. So to me it was like an 8, almost because of the subject material and also that I really wanted to come back to it.
Yeah, like the more we talked about it, I kind of was like, oh, that was interesting, that was cool. And like when he talked about there's more and like they did stuff, and I was like, oh, maybe I will check it out. But then when he told me the big thing, the second one, I was like, I don't really think I need to see it. I don't think I'm going to go look them out. So, I mean, but I don't know. That's just me. I'm like, yeah, exactly. I like the other, like, I want to watch TV and play video games. And the other's like, I want to save the world.
Yeah, it's just different. But again, like watching the trailer of the third movie, they wear blow up. It almost looks like they're sumo wrestlers. Like I didn't catch what they were exactly, but they're in these inflated things, like almost like for Halloween costumes when you're like wearing this inflated costume thing. And there's like 50 of them somewhere. Like that caught my attention. I was like, I want to see what that's about.
What are they doing?
I will hopefully find out and let you know.
Yeah, let us know. We'll come back to this.
So yeah, 8 for me. What'd you say? 6 for you?
6. Mm-hmm.
And then again, so would you try this again or continue on? You're a no.
I'm good. I think I got what I need out of them. Maybe if like something new big comes out or something, but I want to say, yeah, I'll check out the other movie or I'll look at the website more. But I feel like if I'm being honest with myself, I won't.
This is a no judgment zone. This is a no judgment podcast.
I don't know, because we judge things at the end of it. So.
But I'm not judging you.
I know. Just kidding. No, yeah. But that's why I'm being honest. And I'm yeah. Like, I know I won't.
Yeah. I mean, I was the same way about Star Trek. I was like, yeah, I really enjoyed. I'm glad I did it. I'm like, I don't really feel a need to pull up TNG again.
Oh, I've watched a couple more episodes since.
There you go. Cool. Until next time.
Until next time.
You are currently listening to Overtime by TV Poolshine. We'll be right back.
time. We all think that we are always on that grind. You might think that your life is harder than mine, but who's to say the grass is greener on the other side? So we crack our knuckles, count our blessings, pound our chests. Don't forget time and again, we passed that test. You need, oh, we all think that we're all working overtime. We all think that we are always on that grind. You might think that your days are longer than mine, but who's to say the grass is greener on the other side? So we crack our knuckles, count our blessings, pound our chests. Don't forget time and again, we pass that test. You need to rest. 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 Come on and rest. You need to rest. Come on and rest. You need to rest. You need to rest. You need to rest. You need to rest.
Thanks for listening to You Gotta Try This. If you had a good time and learned something new, please rate, review, and subscribe. Until next time, stay open, stay curious, and keep trying.